Well, thank you, choir. That gets the blood flowing a little bit this morning. Some of you may remember a TV show from back in the 70s called WKRP in Cincinnati. This was about a rock and roll radio station who got into a lot of mischief, that type of thing. But there was one episode that always stood out in my mind from this show. It actually was from back in 1978. The station manager by the name of Arthur Carlson, the weatherman Les Nessman, the advertising manager Herb Tarlick, decided that they wanted to have a promotion for Thanksgiving. Their promotion was that they were going to take several domesticated turkeys live up in a helicopter and drop them over the city of Cincinnati. They thought domesticated turkeys could fly. Of course, it led to the death of quite a few turkeys and another failed promotion for WKRP. Well, in case you did not know this, turkeys who live in the wild can fly. Actually, they can reach bursts up to 55 miles per hour. Domesticated turkeys, though, are built for different reasons. They're built to walk, to eat, to get fat, and show up on your dinner table. Many churches are made up of domesticated turkeys. Let's face it, members waddle into church, plop down in a pew or their Sunday school class, get fat on the Word of God, and do absolutely nothing. Waddle into church, waddle out of church. Oh, never ask them to serve, because that means they would need to try and fly. And the gospel of Jesus Christ has become so domesticated in their hearts and lives that they give up on the very wild nature that God has placed within them. They miss the pathway God has in store for them for their lives. They would rather be domesticated than who God has made them to be. Well, this is the next sermon in our series, Sandbox Fellowship. This series reveals how Christians are to treat each other. And this morning, I want us to look at the servant pathway. The servant pathway. The Bible is clear. Followers of Jesus Christ are to serve one another. And too often, this becomes a one-way street, doesn't it? Oh, you know people in the church. You know, there are some Christians who are always serving. They're always serving. And then there's the other side. They're always receiving. But there's another group that's just as wrong. There's also just as wrong those that are the constant servers who say, one day, I'm going to stop now because people need to give me payback for all the days I served. Neither one of these paths are what God intended. These paths lead to churches filled with domesticated turkeys unable to fly in Jesus Christ. We're going to look this morning at a variety of scripture passages. And in our first passage this morning, the disciples had tried to heal a boy who had an unclean spirit, and they failed. They failed miserably. Now, we can kind of understand that one, okay, a little bit. I'm not sure how many of you have healed someone with an unclean spirit before. But then they're walking along. They're walking along with Jesus. Jesus was telling them of his upcoming death, his upcoming resurrection, and they didn't understand. They failed again. Apparently, in the verses we're about to read, we'll see that they had other things on their mind that was distracting them, and it led to this encounter between Jesus and his disciples. We're in Mark, the 9th chapter, for our first verses, beginning with verse 33. Scripture says, and they came to Capernaum. And when he was in the house, that is Jesus, he asked them, what were you discussing on the way? But they kept silent. Well, that should be a giveaway right there, the guilt they were feeling. They kept silent. For on the way, they had argued with one another about who was the greatest. And he sat down, and he called the 12, and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last of all and servant of all. Well, these men had failed twice. They failed to heal someone, and then they failed to understand Jesus' teaching. But instead of seeking the reason for their failures, they instead found a bigger failure. They started arguing about which one was the greatest among them. Now, you might think that's kind of petty, okay? But how often in churches do we ignore the important to get our own way, to fulfill our own needs? We may think we're the most knowledgeable, we're the most spiritual. In essence, we're trying to set ourselves up as the greatest. So I want us to look at the servant pathway, because it might not be what you think it is, or where you think the scripture leads us on this pathway. So first thing, let's look at the servant pathway, where it leads us, and surprisingly, it leads us to greatness. The very thing they were arguing over. In that passage that we just read, Jesus never told his disciples to stop seeking greatness. He never said that. His response to their argument was, if anyone would be first, if anyone would be the greatest, he must be last of all and servant of all. Now, how much did the disciples learn from this? Well, evidently not much, because chapter 10 of Mark, we encounter where the disciples are seeking greatness again. The lesson hasn't sunk in. James and John, they came to Jesus, and they came to him and said, Jesus, how about when your kingdom is set up, you set us in the places of honor? These two brothers, one on the right, one on the left, we can be there in your places of honor. How about that, Jesus? Well, the other 10 disciples heard about it. And they weren't very happy with James and John at this point, most likely because they wanted those seats too. First, Jesus told all 12, you're acting like earthly rulers. You're acting the way the Roman Empire acts. You're acting the way the Pharisees are acting. And he said this to them in Mark 10. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant. And whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Once again, Jesus did not squash the desire for greatness. He rechanneled their thinking. His exact words were, whoever would be great among you must be your servant. Jesus did not condemn his disciples for seeking greatness, nor does he condemn that desire within us. Rather, he redirected his disciples and us today toward true greatness and the path to attain it. The desire to do something great in life is not a sin. I believe God places that desire within your heart. God desires Jesus' disciples to reach lofty goals. And he desires that within our lives as 21st century Jesus disciples. God wants you to do great things for his kingdom. Jesus proclaimed that the path to greatness is different, though, than the world's path. But see, what's happening is that the world's definition of greatness is in error. True eternal greatness occurs only by taking the pathway of servanthood. That in itself turns the world on its head. In the eyes of God, greatness comes by serving one another. In the eyes of the world, it comes by stepping on one another. An amazing thing happens, though, when we serve one another. When we serve each other, our relationship with God grows. See, it's this whole thing of the horizontal plane, our relationship with each other, and the vertical plane, our relationship with God. When this plane here, the horizontal, when we are serving each other, loving each other, caring for each other, this one also grows. We find a closeness to God because we're pleasing God. God loves it when we serve others instead of trying to be the boss as Christians. Well, where else does this servant path lead? It also leads to destiny. Destiny. So, I'm a bit of a Star Wars nerd, okay? Just be upfront about that. In the fifth movie in the series, which is actually the second movie released, and if you don't understand that, you don't understand Star Wars, but it's The Empire Strikes Back. Luke Skywalker was told by Darth Vader that he is Luke's father. Vader wants Luke to join him in getting rid of the Emperor and then his father and son to control the Empire. And then Darth Vader gives one of his memorable lines, "Luke, it is your destiny." Of course, the destiny in the movie is darkness and evil. You see, the scriptures tell us about the destiny for those who are followers of Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one can boast." And then verse 10. "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." You are saved by the grace of God through faith in Jesus' sacrificial death and his glorious resurrection. We receive this marvelous gift of eternal life. There's not a single good deed that you can do that will earn your salvation. Not a one. So stop trying to earn your salvation. Stop trying to earn the favor of God. But he has a pathway that is much greater than earning his favor. As verse 10 says, we are not part of the family of God because we do good works. No, we're not part of the family of God because we serve others. It says we're already part of his family. Through Jesus Christ, we're already part of his family, and now our responsibility as family members is to serve others. Because this is so important, God has a servant pathway of destiny set for us. The verse said again, created in Christ Jesus for good works. You are created in Christ Jesus. In other words, you have come to God. You are now God's child because of Christ Jesus. But you're created for good works. And then it said, the good works which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has set up a plan for your servanthood. He has set your pathway beforehand. And he says, this is your destiny. And this destiny leads to greatness. This destiny reaches out to your fellow Christian, to your fellow human. This destiny pleases the Almighty God because he created the destiny. But many of us have refused to walk the servant pathway. And we fail to see the destiny God has planned for us in this life. Instead, each week, many in churches, I think across America, maybe more than any place else, do things like preach to me, sing to me, minister to me, but don't ask me to do anything. You know, in the animal world, that would be called a leech. In the animal world. And the body of Christ is not to be made of leeches, because we would bleed to death. Take the servant pathway and find your true destiny. Servant pathway also leads to freedom. Freedom. In many ways, this may seem like one of those oxymorons, you know. In other words, opposites, freedom, servanthood, but not in Jesus Christ. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery." And then Paul writes even further in chapter 5 of Galatians, verse 13, "For you were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as the opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another." In Jesus, we receive freedom. Yet we're also His servants. We are free because our sin has been wiped clean by Jesus Christ. You no longer have to carry that burden in your life. You are forgiven if you have asked Jesus into your heart and made that commitment to follow Him. But many Christians are still burdened by the slavery of their sin. Why? It's not due to forgiveness, because the Scripture tells us that we're forgiven. Well, sometimes we cling to the sin. We have a hard time giving up that sin. We don't want to give up that sin. And we cling to it, and it still haunts us. Or for some, they just have a hard time accepting the fact that they could be forgiven. And maybe that's where you are. Maybe, yes, you've heard long enough, God's forgiven you, you're forgiven you, you've come to Christ, God's forgiven you. And sometimes in the back of your mind, you go, I wonder if I'm really forgiven. I wonder if it's really been wiped clean. And the yoke is around the neck, and just cannot believe they've been set free. And God is the one that's telling you you're free. It's not me. It's coming from His words. When Jesus forgives, He forgives completely. But see, there's another type of bondage that's out there that Christians experience. Other Christians choose the route of Pharisaical legalism, which is another bondage. It's a bondage that Jesus fought. It's a bondage that Paul fought. Jesus has set them free, but they remain bound to the law. They're trying to earn God's favor, earn God's blessing and freedom from what they do or don't do. They strap burdens on the backs of other people, other Christians, with legalism over and over again. Law upon law. And Jesus made it very simple for us. He said, here's the two laws. Here's where it comes down to. Love God, love others. Everything else falls underneath those two categories. You do those two things and you're going to be following the law. And instead we make law after law after law upon those laws. Where Jesus tried to make it simple for us. Person's hearts are not full of gratitude because they're bound by legalism, and so they've lost their primary motivation for service. And instead of serving out of freedom in Jesus Christ, they serve under burden. They serve under guilt. Let me tell you this morning, if this sermon provides guilt because you feel like I'm not serving as I'm supposed to, are you feeling the guilt because of legalism, or are you feeling it because the Holy Spirit is guiding that? I the Holy Spirit's the one that counts in this. If your pathway or reason to serve is either legalism or guilt, no wonder you experience service burnout. That's the reason why Christians get burned out. When you and I fully understand what Christ has accomplished for us on the cross and the freedom that God has given us, serving God and serving others won't be difficult. You know, churches across our land have all sorts of different type of constitution and bylaws. And we got to have constitution and bylaws. There are some legal requirements for it. Some churches have constitutions and bylaws that are about 2 pages long. Others, it can go up to 100 pages or so. And here's my thought. If we come to a point where the constitution and bylaw becomes more important than this book and keeps us from doing this book, then we've built up legalism. And we've made law upon law instead of listening to what the Word has to say to us. Actually, serving can become a point of great freedom in our life because it's our natural pathway that God has set before us. But we do it in an attitude of freedom, not of legalism, not of bondage. Another area where we are led to is surrender. Surrender. If I were to tell you there's no difference between you and me and our call and God's plan, would you believe me? I mean, I answered a call of God on my life to be a pastor, but I was called to serve Him by serving others the day I was saved. You were called maybe to be a blue-collar worker, a white-collar worker, a stay-at-home mom, a teacher, or an accountant, a lawyer, whatever the case may be. But your higher calling was the day of salvation, when God called you to serve Him by serving others. Where we are free in Christ, we are also gladly surrendering our will for His in this servant pathway that we have been placed upon. God didn't take you to heaven the day you were saved. He left you here the day you were saved. That means He's got something up His sleeve for you. He's got a pathway planned for you. There's a 1959 Western called The Hanging Tree. Gary Cooper starred in it. And he plays the part of Joseph Doc Frail, a medical doctor. In one point of the movie, Doc Frail comes upon a young man by the name of Rune. Rune has been shot and he's bleeding. He is dying. The doc digs out the bullet, stops him from bleeding, and brings him back to health. When the young man is fully recovered and he realizes his life has been saved, he asks the doctor how he can repay him. And Doc Frail said this. He said, "I'll tell you what you can do for me. You can become my assistant and help me to save other people's lives. In fact, you can do this for the rest of your life, because that's how long you would have been dead if I hadn't saved you." Well, you and I would meet eternal death if Jesus hadn't saved us. In other words, Jesus has dug the bullet out of us called sin. Now, all illustrations have their difficulties. In our case, we can never pay God back. That's not the point of the illustration. We can never pay God back. That's not the intent. That's not why we do good works. That's not why we're on the servant pathway to pay Him back. That's not it. Our lives should have such joy that while we're on this journey called the servant pathway, that we surrender all we are to Him. And God is saying, for the rest of your earthly life, I want you to yield yourself to my purposes. I want you to yield yourself to my pleasures. You have a newfound freedom to do good works that I have prepared for you ahead of time on your servant pathway. Well, finally, the servant pathway leads to strength. Strength. You know, weightlifters can build strength in their legs by doing an exercise called squats. They put a weight upon their shoulder and they do deep knee bends down and up, up and down, and it strengthens their legs. They do several reps of that in a routine. Well, on the servant pathway, we will find strength when we bend down low like Jesus did. The scene is the Last Supper. Jesus gathers with His disciples, and it's the night before the cross. No one bothered to fill the servant role of washing dusty feet as they entered the home. It was the routine, usually, if they had a servant or the lowest member of status within the household of that day. And Jesus took a physical lesson, as he often did, to teach a spiritual truth. John 13, verse 3. Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going back to God, rose from supper. He laid aside his outer garments, and taking a towel, tied it around his waist. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was wrapped around him. Jesus bent down low. And we find the greatest story of servanthood outside of the cross. It was set in a room full of men with dirty feet. The master became the servant. Jesus dons a towel. He grabs a basin filled with water and washed the feet of those who in just a few hours will desert him. And he knows it. Jesus' humble action expressed not only his love for his friends, it also expressed his relationship with the Father. See, where on this horizontal and vertical thing, where we show our love to God by serving each other, Jesus already had the perfect relationship with the Father. This relationship was already in perfection, and he is illustrating to us now, serve others as I've served. Jesus fully grasped his own freedom and his own significance, and he was able to serve. The servant pathway was a pathway of strength, not a pathway of weakness. Jesus had the strength to bend low to lift others up. I began by talking about domesticated turkeys. When we fail to take the servant pathway, we have domesticated our walk with Jesus, and it looks nothing like what Christians should resemble in the servant pathway. That pathway should be a pathway that is wild, filled with greatness, filled with acts of destiny, freedom, yet complete surrender and true strength. And when we fail to serve one another, we fail as followers, and we're on the wrong path. On the wrong path. What path are you traveling today? If you've already asked Jesus into your life, and you have made that decision to follow him, basically, it's time to get wild in Jesus. We don't often think about that, but it should be a wild life living for Jesus Christ. And if you've never asked Jesus Christ in your life, you're missing the great destiny that God has in store for you, that he has prepared for you. 2,000 years ago, Jesus was on a pathway. He was heading into Jerusalem. Oh, on that Sunday, there were all those cheers. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And then 5 days later, that pathway led to the ultimate servant sacrifice as he went to the cross for you and me. Will you take his offer of forgiveness today and become the next great servant of God? This morning, maybe you haven't been the servant of God that you need to be. You are a follower of Jesus Christ, and you just haven't willingly become the servant he has called you to be. He has such a wonderful plan for your life, and it doesn't matter what age you are right now, he still has a plan for your life. Surrender to him. Allow him to lead you on that pathway. Maybe this morning you've never accepted the full forgiveness that Jesus Christ has from you because of the cross. And you need to come this morning and finally admit, yes, I am a sinner. Yes, I'm separated from the eternal God because of my sins. I believe that Jesus died for me on the cross. I believe that my sins were nailed on the cross with him. And now I come to confess that he is Lord and commit to following him. And maybe that's where you are today. You've never made that decision. What a great day to start a new life, a new pathway in Jesus Christ. Maybe this morning your membership is somewhere else and you're looking for a church home. And we'd love to have you here as part of our family of followers. whatever God has called you to today, in just a moment, be prayerful, listening to His Holy Spirit guiding your heart and life. And if you have a decision you want to come and talk about and pray about, come up front, and we'll gladly talk to you about that and pray with you. Let's go to Him now in prayer, and then we'll sing together. Father, thank You for this day. Thank You for the journey that You take us on. Because, Father, I'm afraid for many, the Christian life has just become kind of boring to them because they're not following the servant pathway. They're not being challenged by what You have, because, Lord, a life in Jesus Christ is anything but boring. It's a challenge each and every day because of the wonderful things You have for us. Lord, my prayer is for the Christian today who has gotten off the pathway and needs to come back. I pray that You'll give them strength. You'll move within their hearts. Lord, my prayer is also for the individual who has never asked You into their life, that today will be the day that they start fresh and anew the life and become a turkey in the wild instead of a domesticated turkey. Because, Lord, You are a wondrous God. Lord, guide and lead us now in this time of decision making. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. Let's stand as we sing together.